Welcome to WPM Writing, Publishing, Marketing. This is the October 2019 podcast. It's brought to you each month on the second Tuesday of each month, March through November. And it's a live event here at WSCA Community Radio in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And each month we have three authors. Our normal format is to have one talk about writing, one talk about marketing, one talk about publishing. But in honor of NaNoWriMo month coming up in November, we've decided to just open up the forum and have three authors each talking about their point of view and what they want to share about NaNoWriMo. So our guests tonight are Jeff Deck, Satin Russell, and Lynn Favreau. And we're going to start with Jeff Deck.
All right. Well, thanks for having me be a part of this. I'm excited to talk NaNoWriMo this evening with Satin and with Lynn. My name's Jeff Deck, and I'm a fiction ghostwriter and editor, and I've also written several novels. My newest book is called City of Notions, book three in my series set in Portsmouth called The Shadow Over Portsmouth. I guess I'll start just talking about the basics of NaNoWriMo. It stands for National Novel Writing Month. It's an annual challenge to complete an entire novel within the month of November, which means 50,000 words in 30 days. There's no cost of entry and there are no prizes. I like to say that you do win three things that are intangible. You can level up your own writing discipline, which means getting your butt into the chair every day. It's great practice for that. You build confidence in your ability to keep going with a manuscript. It builds endurance, and you get the opportunity to join a community of very enthusiastic and supportive fellow writers. I've been participating in NaNoWriMo since 2003, so I don't have enough fingers anymore to count however many years that is. I've had several of my books start as NaNoWriMo projects, including my book Player Choice, which was my first NaNo project back in 2003. I find that 50,000 word goal is a really great tool for motivation and encouragement, and of course the NaNo community is great for the same reasons. NaNoWriMo is a great example of how we can band together and help each other achieve things and use positive reinforcement for each other and share our passion with each other. It's a really great manifestation of a shared growth mindset and looking at writing as a non-zero sum game where we can all win. It doesn't have to be one of us winning while another's losing. I'll just talk about some of the other basics real quick here, I guess. For National Novel Writing Month, to sign up, you go to NaNoWriMo.org. That's NaNoWriMo.org. And if you're not already a member, you hit the sign up button and create a username and password for yourself. If it's already November 1st, then you're definitely going to want to jump in right away with giving your novel a name. Whatever project you're going to be working on, there's space to choose what genre it's going to be and to upload a book cover if you want. Those details aren't particularly important. But the real important part of the website is this word count bar that fills up. It's at the top of the site. Well, the site was recently redesigned, but I assume it'll still be at the top. And as you update your word count throughout the month, you get to see that word count bar fill up, and it's very gratifying to see that happen. There's also a bar graph that shows you day by day how well you're kind of adhering to the average words per day. And so it'll have a through line for the course that you should be charting, and the little bars each day will show whether you're above or below that that through line. And so that can be a good motivation or intimidating, depending on the way you look at it. I like to take it as a challenge to try and get back on track. There's been years too where I've been below that through line for almost the whole month, and then still managed to get the 50,000 words at the end by pulling through with some larger word count days towards the end. So the through line is not an indicator that you're not going to make it, even if you're like below the line for most of it. There's always hope to bring back. there's a couple different philosophies about how to approach NaNoWriMo, how to get that incredible amount of words done. There's the planning method, where you come up with a lot of details about your book beforehand, and maybe come up with an outline and have a really solid plan for what you're going to do. And the other way is to just kind of fly by the seat of your pants, and so it's called pantsing. So you may be a planner, you may be a pantser, there may be parts of both in you.
A planter.
Yeah,
a planter. That's what I call myself, a planter.
Yeah, exactly. I from my perspective as a pantser for many years, and having a lot of stress as a result, I think, at least as an aspiration, it really helps to be to try to be a planner, to at least come up with a general battle plan for your story. And you can veer off it if you want to. You don't have to stick to the script. It just helps to actually have something to stick to in the first place, in case you have a day where you're flailing, or a week where you're flailing, or 2 weeks. So you can outline even in just very broad terms, what's going to happen in the beginning, middle, and end. And then, of course, recognize that even if you're trying your best to stick to that plan, what do they say about battle plans not surviving first contact with the enemy? And if you get in a jam and you need to get some words out quick, there's always some techniques that may feel like cheating, but it's not cheating when it's words on the page. Let's say your main character is going to have an extended dream sequence. You could make that dream 10,000 words if you want to.
We have them break out into song.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
song lyrics.
Yeah, sing-alongs, extended dialogue, just conversations that go on forever.
That will be edited out later.
Yeah. I mean, you know, give us great detail about how the political system works in your novel, or the warp drive, if it's sci-fi. The thing about nano is the whole philosophy is to kind of shut off your brain and ignore your inner critic, and just make those 50,000 words happen. And once you have a first draft on the page, then you've got something that you can edit. It's a lot easier to work with existing content than a blank page. So there's no wrong way, really, to do NaNoWriMo. I don't know. I think that's been several minutes.
No, Elliot, that was an excellent explanation of NaNoWriMo.
I'll leave a few details for you guys to talk about.
Setting the foundation.
Well, I'm going to go from where you just. I actually came to NaNoWriMo at the suggestion of a friend, because I was very frustrated with myself not being able to get my writing done, because I edit while I'm writing, and I was having a hard time getting out of my own head. And she suggested this silly concept of just writing and trying to get words down, and I scoffed at first, and then I tried it, joined NaNoWriMo. I went to my first meeting and met some very nice people, And I went to my first write-in and was amazed that I could sit in a room with other people and actually get work done. I did win that year, and I won for the next 8 years. So yes, they all are unfinished. Thank you very much. Well, that's not true. One of them is finished. Still in the late editing stages. So that is the one thing that I can always attest to people is that you will be amazed how encouraging it is to sit in a room with other people who are trying to accomplish the same thing that you are. That camaraderie, that like-mindedness, that surge of energy just in the room to just love what you're doing, it is really motivating. And we've over the years, have really almost had to talk people into it, to at least just try to come to a write-in just once, because they're sure that they can never write in a room with other people, and they are always amazed that it works so well. We also, in our quieter write-ins, especially at the libraries, we do things called word sprints, where we set a timer. We'll have, one of us will be designated, and it's usually me, I am the taskmaster. We're gonna write for 15, 20 minutes, and I say go, and we set a timer, and everybody puts their head down, and they go for it. We some of us are a little competitive, so we have, some of us will say how many words we got done in that, and then there'll be our friend Caroline, who is the fastest typist I've ever met, who always outdoes me. She's also the one who named our mascot. From NaNoWriMo, we had a Thank God It's Over party in Reading, I think the second year I did it. And when it was over, we were enjoying each other's company so much. We stood up and we looked at each other and we went, can we still do this the whole year? So from that came our local writing group called the Rhinoshores. We are the writers of the North Shore, Massachusetts.
That was the region designation through the NaNoWriMo site.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah. So that's how our local writing group became a thing. And from that, we also developed our own, what we call our Rhino swag. We have tally sheets and stickers. We take this
very seriously,
yes. With tongue in cheek.
Yes,
we are above all a support group. We really try to give people the time and to really pursue this wonderful, obsession we have with writing, because so many people, they really want to do it, but they kind of just don't make the time for it. So that's what we really, our goal is to really give people the time to do that. And it's been very successful. We have quite a few hundred people who are in our group on Facebook and who participate in our region. We have one of the largest regions in NaNoWriMo. We have active participants, so it's been a lot of fun for us to be a part of NaNoWriMo and to meet all these wonderful people and
build community.
Yeah, we have a great community. We have several published authors. Satin is one. Mm-hmm. We have several self-published. I think that surprises people. A lot of people don't realize that NaNoWriMo does produce actual publishable work.
Yeah. All the time.
As Jeff will attest also. So it's a fun and a great joy for us to participate in, but it's also it's a means to an end. If you really want to get a work done, you can do it through this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with
Satin
that.
Will...
Yeah, I mean, well, so I came to NaNoWriMo because I was a financial advisor for many years, and I woke up on the eve of my 36th birthday at 3 in the morning, staring at the ceiling going, how the heck did I get here? I'm doing exactly opposite of what I think my strengths are. I'm doing going in exactly the opposite direction of where my interests lie. And how do I get over there? Because that's actually what I want to do. I want to be an author. I want to, you know, work with writing. And I always thought I was going to be an English teacher or a librarian or an author or something. Here I am working in the finance. Just, you know, it's not good. So I'm lucky because I went to my husband and I said, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling. And he listened. And he says, great, okay, but don't quit your day job. Let's give it a year. Let's make some goals. And at the end of that year, if you still feel as strongly as you do now, you know, we can make that jump. And so we made a number of goals. Some of them were practical, paying down our credit cards and saving X amount of money and that kind of idea. But one of the goals that I had made for myself was to participate in NaNoWriMo and just see if I enjoyed sitting down every day and if I could produce the amount of words that I would need in order to make this a career and just test myself, test my mettle and you know whether I could actually make this into something, you know, viable and tangible. So I got my little brand new Google Chromebook clutched in my hands and I went to a NaNoWriMo prep meeting that happens kind of towards the end of October typically in most regions. They'll have like a prep meeting for anybody who's just starting.
Introduction for new people,
ask any questions that you have, that kind of idea. And it was at the Plum Island Coffee Roasters in Newburyport and I come walking in and sure enough there's Lynn Favreau who's like, you, yep, come right here, you know.
You can always tell
took
the look.
Me under her wing.
You can always tell the look on their face when they walk in someplace that they're looking for us.
So relieved to have somebody who could kind of show me the ropes and be so giving at, with her time and her effort and really set the tone and the pace for me for that first NaNoWriMo. And one of the things I want to talk about with why, if you're thinking about it, if you've heard about it, and you're writing, and you're hesitant, or you're, you know, still on the fence, and I want to encourage people who are creative, who love the written word, who've maybe thought about writing a book to participate in NaNoWriMo, is this idea that it encourages you to carve out time and space for creativity mm-hmm. and for those passions that you love that you maybe put on the back burner. And a lot of times, I think especially when it comes to creative endeavors, such as writing or art or music or anything along those lines, and they say, well, I'm not really going to do anything with it. I'm not expecting to be professional with it, or I'm not a big name photographer, or I'm not a big, you know, I'm not going to open up my own gallery, or I'm not going to do, and we tend to hold our creative endeavors to the highest level of expectation. Mm-hmm. And but when it comes to things like sports, we have intramural sports. You know, we have those opportunities to just play, to just do because we love it, because we have that passion. And we have, I really want to encourage people to see their art in the same way. You don't have to take it to that professional level. You don't have to publish that work. But just the act of creating it, the act of finding a community who shares those passions with you has value. And with NaNoWriMo, it's giving you a platform where you can explore and you can give yourself the permission to be creative mm-hmm. and to take the time for your art, whether you're planning on publishing a book or not.
And across all genres, we have every genre you can
imagine.
Every
genre.
Represented in our group.
Every motivation.
Yep.
I think that a lot of writers that participate in NaNoWriMo, technically on the site they say, you know, you should start from scratch. It's 50,000 words for like something scratch. Technically it says National Novel Writing Month, but you don't have to hem yourself in to those constraints if you don't want to. We have people in Rhino Shores who are poets that I'm going to write a poem every day. or say, I'm in the middle of this project and I really just need the motivation to push through that final barrier and finish to the end this story that I've been working on for the last 5 years or what have you, you know? And so the idea, you can set your parameters and your goals as you need to, and NaNoWriMo can kind of change and fit the spaces and provide the support that you need.
Yeah.
No
they,
matter
they
what.
They officially call you a rebel when you work.
Yeah, a NaNo rebel.
Yes.
Who doesn't love a good rebel? You know.
I was a rebel last year. I just did editing on one of my works.
You can edit so many books or so many pages or what have you. So even if you say, well, I'm not really writing a novel, or I'm not really planning on publishing, or I'm not really, don't let those be the excuses for and prevent that prevent you from creating and enjoying this passion that you love. You know, like. For me, I think that's one of the things I want to encourage. And also, I really want to say, if you have a region that's hosting a write-in, can I just encourage you to go to a write-in? There, you can do it online, sure. You know, you can like do the message boards and stuff like that. But there is something so wonderful about sitting in a room full of people who are writing with you, and building that sense of community and building that sense of like, okay, I am going and I'm doing this, you know.
It's like an accountability.
There's an accountability to it, not in a
kind of a negative way, but in the very positive sense of it. That, you know, these people are. We're going to be sitting in that room, and we're going to be thrilled to see you, and we are going to be happy no matter how many words you write. Mm-hmm. Just showing up for yourself is what we really are so happy for you to do.
We're celebrating.
Yeah, we're celebrating that with you. So
right.
Yeah, go to your write-ins.
Go to your write-ins. Yeah, don't be afraid to do that. And I think we're kind of lucky in the sense, like the group that we belong to with Rhino Shores, we're so active within our region. And I hope that whoever happens to be hearing this also has that ability to kind of join a region that's as active
or,
as we are.
Or hold one yourself.
Don't be afraid to do that either. But I mean, we have write-ins throughout the week, like five or six write-ins practically every night throughout the week. So you have lots of occasions. Even if you can't make it on Tuesday, oh well, there's one for Wednesday, there's one for Thursday. We have big events like kind of that hold up the month. Mm-hmm. So we have the kickoff party at the beginning, which I think is standard for most NaNo regions. Mm-hmm. That's prescribed.
Yeah.
But then we do an all night all right, which the official like NaNoWriMo organizers out of San Francisco, they host like an all night all right. That's kind of where that idea came from. I think they do theirs as called a night of writing.
Night of Writing Dangerously.
Writing Dangerously.
Yeah.
Boston, so we kind of do a riff of that. Mm-hmm. And within that night, we have a number of events throughout the night, which is a lot of fun too. So we do like readings at midnight, and we have a sunrise walk. And
that's
like
awesome.
It's so cool. You should definitely come.
Once someone joins our region, they're like, we don't know what anybody else is doing, but you guys have got it down right.
Yes. And then we have the Thank Goodness It's Over party at the end in December, which is like basically a chance for everybody to kind of exhale. and look at what they've managed to accomplish, you know. And even if you don't hit 50,000 words, if you only hit 15,000 words or 20 or 30,000 words, that's 30,000 words that you didn't have at the beginning of the month, and something to be proud of.
We also have a reading that night if you want to. No pressure, and there's no judgment. You will find nothing but accolades for you reading. And for a lot of writers, it is the first time they've ever read in front of anyone.
Yeah.
And they love it.
It's a leap of faith, you know. It's a jump, but that's my favorite part, I think.
It's honestly. We've had a lot of fun with that, and we're always so surprised, one, how good everybody is.
The amount of talent.
Yeah, and how different we all are.
Yeah.
And that we all, and I think that's where the supportive part is. It's like we're not critiquing each other. We're not, you know, we're not just one genre. We're open to everybody and everything, and that's made
diversity
all the difference.
Diversity of the stories, of the type of writing, of the character development. I mean, just like, and just the amount of talent that everybody kind of within that community, It's very inspiring.
From brand new writers who've never written before to people who've been writing for, 10, 12, 15 years, it's been great. It's really very satisfying.
And I think in general, writers feel compelled to write in some way, shape, or form. But, things get in the way. your kids and their schedules and all of the different appointments and work 9 to 5 and you come home and it's just so much easier to stick your feet up and like zone out into a television, And so just to have this 1 month where you can say, I did that and this is still something that I believe in and I value and a talent that I appreciate in myself. And I think that's worthy. So,
I appreciated Lynn's use of the word celebration earlier, where it really is true that NaNoWriMo makes November not just a month of writing challenge, but of writing celebration and a chance for all of us in a pursuit that is so often solitary, by its nature of just plopping down in front of a computer screen, or a typewriter, or a papyrus, or whatever.
Fountain pen.
Yeah, it's just it's an annual celebration of writing where the whole month you can go on Twitter and just see all these people talking about their working on their nano projects and have this connection with people all over the world. You've got these these great events in person too, which I should mention, you so on the website is where you can find your region and sign up for it, and you can start to get emails from the regional coordinator, who's known as an ML or municipal liaison, and you can get events or get emails about events that are coming up in the area, or little thoughts about everyone's writing progress. Mm-hmm. And there's also forums where you can find out about those events and other things.
And then the NaNoWriMo site has a ton of resources in their own forums, broken up into many different categories. You can find it broken up into the genre that you're writing. If you're particularly looking for plotting help, character help,
development.
Yes, even if you're looking for a name, they have a whole forum just for names.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So definitely, if you join the NaNoWriMo, explore the site, see what's there.
It,
yeah,
for sure.
There's lots of information there. And even on our own, we have our own rhinoshores.com, where last year I wrote how to go about starting to write a novel, because that's actually probably the most intimidating thing for a lot of the people, is that the idea of writing a novel is so foreign that I could sit here and write, but I don't know what it means to write a novel. Well, I go through many different explanations of how to
structure.
Yeah, how to approach that, and different resources. We have a lot of links and resources for that, so you could go to our website and find that stuff too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the nature of the challenge, like 50,000 words in 30 days, it takes a very definite goal, a number, and then you can basically break it down per day. And the through line
1666.
Yeah,
1666.
Yeah, 1666 is the magic number
exactly.
per day for word count.
So the through line.
But I always shoot for
2,000. Like, yeah, it's better to go over that each day.
Yeah, well, because that you have Thanksgiving in somewhere there in there, and you're probably not going to be able to write on Thanksgiving. So, and I always like to front load the month because slowly start to have difficulty, or you hit a wall one day, or your kid gets sick one day, or whatever happens. And so if you shoot for 2,000, it tends to give you just a little bit of that buffer, and plus that the bar that you're talking about, the word count bar, where it tracks your progress, and it has a dotted line for if you're on average or not. I always like to be just slightly above.
I admit I usually am done by Thanksgiving. I think every year except for one, I've been done by Thanksgiving.
It's amazing what can be produced.
I like to write. I'm a fast writer at the beginning. And it's funny, that because everybody's different, because we have several writers who are still 12,000 words words away.
I came in clutch last year.
She did. 12,000 words away the last couple of days, and they do it. They get it done. Sat in last year, right to the end.
Oh, Cafe Nero's in Andover. Thank you for staying open late.
We
9 o'clock at night, and I'm sitting there going, ooh. You know?
She did it, though.
I did it. Yep, over 12,000 words in one day. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
and it actually ended up becoming my holiday novella, which is being published November 1st.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were usable words. They were not just song lyrics this time.
Can you give us the name for people to look up?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so it's called Secret Gifts.
Secret Gifts.
Yep, and it's a part of a larger series, the Harper Sisters series, which is set up in Bath, Maine. The first book is Secret Hunger. The second book is Secret Need, and then this is kind of like number 2.5, if you will. It's like a little holiday novella, and it's called Secret Gifts. So,
excellent.
Yeah, I'm very excited. But that was definitely because I sat in the chair last Nano and wrote, in essence, for 9 hours. I think we got there at 10 and we left at 9,
yep.
So whatever those hours are. And I did stop to eat lunch, but just barely. It's only because she said, you must eat. Coffee does not a diet make. So.
Well, and if you look at breaking down even a large number like that into like individual sessions and, you know, sometimes I find it helpful to have like a stopwatch or something.
Sprints are fabulous for that, exactly.
Yeah.
Everybody has their own version of what the sweet spot is. For me personally, 20-minute word sprints are prime.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can say, okay, you know, you have social media, you have all of these other distractions that could kind of pull you away from your focus, but I can focus for 20 minutes. Like, surely I could do that, you know? And so you sit and you write for 20 minutes and, oh, now you have 350 or 550 words.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if your word count or your word goal for the day is 2,000, it takes 4 20-minute sprints and you've got it, you know? So that's kind of where I'm like, oh, I can do this. I can do 20 minutes. And then we usually do 2 or maybe 3 in a row. And then it's like, okay, now I have given myself permission to take a break and have a snack and check Facebook and check Twitter and check Instagram and check all the things because apparently I can't live without them. But
hold sprint, like we're working at home, we do word sprints online on our Facebook page also. So
nice.
If you need that little boost of, you know, if everybody, knowing everybody's working with you, you can,
Or we have people that say, I just got home from work, you know, I'm just now sitting down. Is there anybody online? I'm going to start writing. And inevitably, there'll be somebody like, I am, you know, or, you know, I just put the kids down. I'm ready to work, you know, or whatever. And so then it's like, you can kind of go back and forth and you say time, you know, and then everybody says, oh, 350, oh, 400, oh, I got, you know, 200 something or whatever. And so, and then they compare the numbers and then they go into the next sprint.
Yeah, midnight on the first, there will be a bunch of us online.
Yeah, getting the first toe in, even if it's only 50 words. It's like, oh, we got our 50
words
in. You know, it's fun.
Yeah, because it officially starts November 1st at 12 a.m. or
12:01
a.m.
We will be there 12:01 online. Yeah.
I don't know what I'm writing yet, but
it's like a little club, you know, like you feel like, and you know, you're not the only one. That's what's so great about it. It's like you go online and you're sitting there and you're thinking, usually this is for me myself. I'm in the living room. I got my glass of wine. I'm at the computer. It's 12:01, and I'm like, okay, is anybody else there? And sure enough, there's like a dozen other people who are probably doing exactly the same thing, you know, in their living room. And it just feels so comforting to know that you're not alone and you found that tribe of people that, you know, are similar and can share that interest with you. So that passion. It's about the passion. So I don't know.
Does anybody have any questions?
Yeah.
Questions from the audience.
Yes.
One at a time, please.
Do you get sponsors, like, for someone to pay for the coffee and the donuts? Or something?
The public libraries usually provide coffee for us.
Really?
Yes.
Public libraries are always looking out for community outreach. Yeah.
They want us there. So they're always, they will give us coffee, often cheese and grapes. I know Hamilton Wenham is one of our biggest supporters. As far as outside sponsors, we've never sought that outside of my husband. who was a printer. He actually provides us with our Rhino swag, and he does the designs for it. So he is essentially our Rhino Show sponsor.
Yeah.
Thank you,
official
honey.
Swag. That's awesome.
Oh yeah, we do.
We have talent sheets, stickers, posters. We have little tents we put on tables at coffee shops so that people can find us.
Yeah.
We're very excited about our region.
But most of the time, I mean, it doesn't have to be a great production. Yes. It doesn't. I mean, it's fun.
It absolutely doesn't. Nope.
It does. But it doesn't have to be. Most of the time, it's like a potluck situation, you know, it's like somebody's going to bring some donuts or somebody's going to bring some crackers, here I've got the cheese,
you do not need that kind of thing.
It doesn't have to be money to participate in this event.
There's no fees.
And NaNoWriMo.org, like you said, it's free to start a profile, it's a free website. They've done a really good job of kind of keeping the barrier to entry low and encouraging anybody to participate. They even have a youth outreach NaNoWriMo that they encourage kids to do it. I know a lot of English teachers will, get their students to participate in the youth NaNoWriMo.
We've had several young people
Most all of the write-ins, the guidelines that they provide for the write-ins, it has to be at a location where, anybody can come. So you can't hold a write-in at a bar, that idea. So that if a 15-year-old wants to come and try to write, then they can. And in fact, I have met a number of kids. I think there was one gal. Oh, now I'm trying to remember what her name is. Nina. She's written and published her own book, and she's in eighth grade. And now with technology, that's possible. But with programs like this, it encourages them to try. It encourages them to do it and find that community. So there's a lot of benefits to NaNoWriMo that have go far and beyond, just even November.
During bad weather, do you work online?
Sure.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons that we connect on Facebook. We connect on Facebook and on Twitter. So
they have message boards on the actual official site. So depending on what region you belong to and kind of how they do it, I know Rhino Shores, we tend to be so active and we've kind of grown.
We take it for granted that we're very well connected to each other.
Yeah, and we've taken it beyond November, and so we've built those ties. Even though we've discovered each other through NaNoWriMo, it's grown beyond that, which is another benefit to participating in NaNoWriMo. But even if all you are doing is just coming in to the NaNo site without any other connections, or they have message boards, they have forums, you can find those people that are going to be online and you can create those relationships. So, yeah, that's what I would do, especially in New England with winter. You always have to kind of pay attention to that in November. So.
I say we're really lucky, though. Rarely do we ever have, I don't remember ever having to really cancel anything.
Like getting socked in. No. Well, now see what you've done. You've
changed. I know, just correct. It would be the early winter this year. Sorry.
Well, I remember a couple of years ago, I think, where there was a big storm around Thanksgiving, and it knocked out power in a bunch of places around here. And so
back up your work.
Said to my family, I was like, okay, I'll be back in a little while. I just need to get in my word count for the day. So I just went and found a restaurant that had power just to get in the day's words.
That's dedication.
It becomes like a compulsion.
It does.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, there's people who have studied, productivity and being good at accomplishing things and being able to kind of chain goals from day to day is a big thing. If you can kind of look at it as okay, I've got some writing in today. I want to keep going and not break the chain of writing words each day.
Well, it's exercising a muscle. You're exercising that creative creativity muscle, and you're forming that habit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think they say it takes, what is it, like 2 weeks or 3 weeks or something like that before you really start getting a habit into place. And so
mm-hmm.
if you're doing it for the month, that's jump starting,
mm-hmm.
you know, a good habit going forward. So, or
yeah.
like if you're like me, sometimes, like when I first started, I was all gung-ho to be, you know, I'm going to be an author. I want to try this NaNoWriMo. Well, now that it's been a few years, you know, I slip in and out of having a good habit of writing every day, even though I know that I should. But every November, I come back, and it's like a touchstone, and
yeah.
it reestablishes that habit for me, and it says,
like
no, this is really what
yeah.
you're supposed to do. Yeah, it's
mm-hmm.
a way to recalibrate.
Yeah.
So I think that's also... You know, even if you're an established author, it's a great opportunity to use NaNoWriMo in that way. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And I just realized we hadn't really mentioned yet, like, so each individual person that's participating in NaNoWriMo, so you're just individually, like, updating your word count on the site each day, and you're not uploading, like, your manuscript on a regular basis, like,
mm-mm,
only,
no.
like, at the end as, like, a verification method,
mm-hmm.
Does it ask for you to, like, upload
and
your,
it doesn't
your
save your work.
Words?
There's
yeah.
no copyright issues in that regard. It's simply counting numbers.
Yeah.
And then it says, yes, you're verified, you win, and then it has, like, this little
yeah.
video.
And if you're worried about, you know, if you're still worried about it, you can, like, encode your document by basically going through and changing every letter to X, and it still ends up being the same amount of words, and so, you know,
yeah, exactly.
You just do a find or replace, like, you know, replace A with X, replace B with Y, and, you know,
just remember what you did.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
if you're planning on using it again.
Yeah, we'll save that as a separate copy.
Yeah,
like,
yes.
Please,
it's a good copy.
Please do that, yes.
And I'm going to
see nightmares ahead.
Yeah.
I'm going to reiterate, save your work.
Save your work. Back
yeah.
up your work.
Yeah.
Please back up your work.
Yeah.
Use the cloud.
I was just going to say
yeah.
Google Docs is great for that
mm-hmm.
because it's just always up.
I think we have
cloud,
an official
so.
Backup day, too. I think
yeah.
which one it is.
Yeah.
I forget which day it is. Like day 7 or 8 where they have an official back up your work.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
You can use Dropbox or
yes.
like OneDrive or, you know, there's any number
any
of
any number of
for,
ways. Yeah.
Thumb drive, anything.
Mm-hmm.
But get into the habit of doing that just as much as you're in the habit of sitting down, you know, to write at all, for sure. Yeah, that's pretty
yeah.
much.
I know, like, I've heard that, you know, just musicians after concerts, they'll jam all night. You know, to have writers give themselves permission to write all night, that's pretty good, because, like, I'm a writer and an artist, and sometimes I'm so into my work, I'll keep going until 1 or 2 or 3 in the morning, and people will see me emailing or something, Denise, I see you're still up.
That's,
yeah.
Yes, we have lots of those
so
messages.
You wouldn't be able to do that if your eyes were closed.
I drive by my house, and your light was on late last night.
Yeah.
You know,
wow.
It's nice to have permission to do it.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of people think you're wacko.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
it's
1 month out of the year. I think,
yeah.
I think coming from, certainly from like moms especially, I always think of like kind of that, the from a woman's perspective, and they think, oh, I have to dedicate so much to family and all the stuff, and it's so selfless in a lot of ways. And like at 1 month out of the year, you can say, no, this is my time for me to set aside and, you know, dedicate towards my art and towards something, to my own passion, to my own pursuit.
Yeah.
You know,
at our kickoff,
I like that.
At our kickoff party, we have some. We have a little bit of a raffle, and some, we always make sure a couple of our gifts are dinner preparations.
Yeah.
Because that's the one rule. It's like, you're not making dinner and you're not doing laundry for the month of November. Teach
yeah.
your family how to do those things beforehand.
Right. No, really. It's,
yeah.
it's so
we're
true.
Serious.
Or like,
I
don't have kids, so it's just my husband. But like, he knows, like,
yep.
in November, he's not going to see very much of me.
Yeah.
Like, it's just understood now.
Yes.
This is my eighth
no
year.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, do your laundry
up.
Ahead of time, you know. No, what they've started calling October Preptober. So this idea of preparing for the month of November, and typically they're referring to it in the way, like what you're saying, of planning out what your novel is going to be, you know, maybe writing an outline or coming up with some characters, so you're not... you're not stuck there trying to figure out what you're going to name this character. You've already thought of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think of it also more in practical terms. Like,
yeah,
prep your life, get it ready
life.
For November, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have a couple of those easier, faster meals. Like, you know, for me, it's like kielbasa and peppers. Okay, I know I'm going to have that in the fridge because I can just, like, cook that really fast, you know. Pasta is always great, you know, like, nice thing to
mm-hmm.
lean on. And so, like, make sure that your food is stocked. Make sure your laundry's done. So, you know. I might take it a little far, I don't know, but it does help.
So do you only have like one night that you work all night around the clock, or do you whatever?
It's really just the one event, the all night, all right. Although people, you know, depending on their schedules, they can, you know, stay up late. I'm a night owl myself,
yeah,
so I tend to be up late.
Like, you'll catch her and I on, up late.
Yeah.
We'll be on Facebook. And we'll be up way probably midnight, 1, 2 o'clock. It's not unusual to see a bunch of us.
Yeah,
up
and that's not restricted to November or NaNoWriMo.
No.
So.
It's not.
but the event that you're referring to, the All Night All Right, that is its own event. It's like it's like a tent pole of events, right?
Yeah.
The three tent poles of events, and this is that mid. Month
it's at the
sort
end of
event where maybe things are flagging. You came out of the gate strong. You're hitting that 2-week mark, and you just need an infusion of energy and excitement. Hey, we have this all night. All right, why don't you come down? And we write throughout the day at Hamilton Wenham because it happens on a Saturday. Hamilton Wenham Public Library. Thank you. And so we have a write-in on Saturdays anyway. And so we just kind of move from that write-in over to Lynn's house. Lynn is the hostess with the mostest as far as our region's concerned. So, yeah. But we'll go, and everybody usually brings a little something. It kind of ends up becoming a potluck, and there's snacks throughout the night. And like I said, we do like a midnight mayhem, we dance. We like get our blood going, like, so we have like a little bit of a dance, and then we do a reading, and then at sunrise we have a sunrise smut is what we call it. and then we do like a walk around like a lake, and then we do brunch afterwards, and it's like this whole kind of event, 24-hour event. And then inevitably we have a write-in on Sunday that's planned, but we never make it. But hopefully we've managed to do at least 4,000 words to cover that day. So that's kind of how we work it. But,
we had someone write 20,000 words one weekend.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's amazing what people
mm-hmm.
can get accomplished, you know,
yeah.
even
yeah.
just in a day. So, yeah.
And typically,
that's I'm more in the 8,000 range. I'm not hitting, like, 20,000
yeah.
words. Yeah.
And the whole, I keep thinking about, you know, this like aspect of giving yourself permission too. I hope people can really kind of take away from NaNoWriMo the ability to give themselves permission to create, not just during November, but throughout the rest of the year too. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, we only have so much time on this earth, and you know, creating, whether it's writing or some other kind of creative.
Endeavor,
if that brings you fulfillment, if that like gets you excited, if you know, if that really feel, you know, makes you feel like you've accomplished something, like
mm-hmm.
you have to give yourself permission for
yeah.
that, you know.
Agreed.
you have to make space in your life for that, because
mm-hmm.
You know, maybe that's what you're, you know, here to do, or one of the things that you're here to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, not to sound too metaphysical about this, but...
No, I completely
agree
with you.
You know?
Absolutely. And, I mean, there's something so lovely about the written word, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just in general, if you want to really wax poetic for a moment. But
yeah.
the idea, like, you know what somebody centuries ago was thinking because it was written down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is how society passes on its knowledge. This is how we gain perspective, you know, of history and of where we've been, and hopefully can make predictions of where we're going. You know, these are the lessons that we teach ourselves and tell ourselves. And so, I mean, just the idea of like the written word is so important, you know, and you have a story. Everybody has a story that is worth telling and that is worth sharing with others. Whether it's even just to share it with yourself, to refocus yourself, or confirm things that you've maybe have forgotten, But also, you could tell anecdotes of your life to your to future generations.
I'm not published, so I do. Yeah. I am writing just for myself. I probably have about 7 novels that are in various stages of disarray.
But it has value.
But it's
your voice.
Well, I do. Mm-hmm. I really do value what I've written. Because for the enjoyment I've had of writing it, the whole process of writing it, the whole process of being with all these other people who enjoy writing,
mm-hmm.
that has been the reward for me, not the, you know, the end goal of publishing.
Mm-hmm.
I still may, I don't know, but it really has been the process that I've had the most enjoyment from.
Or sometimes you're tackling something and you have to, for me anyway, like, I have to write it down sometimes in order to really understand how I'm feeling about it, you know,
mm-hmm.
how I'm feeling about that situation, you know, and that has value,
mm-hmm.
that idea of being able to, how can I best express this? How can I best relay this, you know?
Well, I'll tell you the novel that I have finished and that I'm editing, the title is called The Illusion of Marriage. And I see everybody laughed. And it's funny, the women all go, and the men go, huh, I don't get it. That's okay. But that story in itself is, I've worked through things in, you know, not necessarily worked through my problems, but worked through the ideas I had of what marriage was, what my friends' marriages are. The large concepts of, you know, relationships. I've really thought about these things, and I've found it so cathartic to think this way, and to do that through writing it's been liberating.
Mm-hmm.
I've really enjoyed that process.
Yeah, I feel like that's the same for a lot of us, where
mm-hmm.
we end up writing to understand.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
we come to a process of greater understanding, whether it's about ourselves or about the world or about
mm-hmm.
You know, situations in society or social constructs.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the great things, that if you know, if you're out there and you haven't tried writing, if you've been curious about it, like, there are you know, steps you can kind of take in your own journey of understanding
mm-hmm.
through writing that is just it's hard to describe. It's something that you have to experience yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a neat feeling to think that you can create something that that is going to have value for other, you know, people who are reading it, but have value just in the mere act of its creation.
Yeah.
For yourself.
I was really, I think it's such a fulfiller of curiosity. I had had this, I was really curious about this concept that someone could say something to you and have it change the course of your life. So I ended up writing 6-part novellas, 6 novellas, and they ended up being part of novels now. But each person is met by someone who says something completely offhand to them, and they suddenly see themselves differently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such an interesting way to think. And
it happens.
But I was just that I couldn't let that concept go and had
right.
to write about it.
Right.
Yeah.
The person who said whatever it is usually doesn't even remember it.
Oh yeah, they don't.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Exactly.
But it just
exactly.
it resonated.
Yeah.
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 I love that. I love that feeling.
And that's why everyone's writing is important. You don't know when you're going to say something or write something that's going to be meaningful
to
someone
else.
Yeah.
That's going
to
resonate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if it only connects with one person.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
that's one person's life that you've,
yeah.
that you've altered.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully for the better.
I know, hopefully for the better.
Yeah.
Yeah, even the, like, what you were saying as far as the act of creating and the process of writing and how it's valuable to yourself, even, it's valuable to others, but really even just that process is valuable to yourself. I've been journaling since I was, I don't know, like in 5th grade or something like that. And I have old journals that I can go back and revisit. And even seeing my perspective from that age at that time now, you know, I take value out of it even later on in life,
yeah.
You know, that idea. Like,
it like crystallizes a past version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's fun to kind of note the change in perspective, you know, like, and you start realizing, oh, okay, so you start seeing a little bit of a greater whole as
mm-hmm.
far as all
I
the different
get older and wiser.
It's good to have confirmation of that.
Yeah, exactly.
So what happens when you
know,
when a writer dies with all these piles of words?
Yeah.
Because I know I'm an artist
depends.
And I have a house full of art.
That's a very good question. That's a very good question. Some people are, you know, the personality is someone who takes care of everything, so you're going to make sure that somebody, it's left to someone who is going to do something with it or dispose of it in a way that is okay with you, respectful to you, and yeah, or someone's going to come along and just going to chuck it. You know,
and either way, you're not going to know.
It's not.
So there's some comfort there.
You know, or they're going to read it and say, hey, this is really good. I should try to get this published.
Yeah, I mean, even as a writer, I've gone to a couple of different meetings as far as estate planning, copywriting, and all of that stuff. And I haven't even tackled it yet because I'm just like, oh, ball of wax. Like, I can't. But, I mean, there are legal steps that you can take. Define what your estate is and your wishes for what happens to it or where it goes. But for me, I mean, well, my books I'll copyright and I'll probably, I don't know what I'll end up doing.
I will confess that I am faced with this problem. I have incurable cancer. So this is something I've actually been thinking about quite a bit, about whether or not I am going to pursue publishing or about whether or not I'm going to save anything. Or whether I should just dump it all. So it's very interesting that you asked that. And I really don't even have the answer to that yet. I haven't quite decided if it has meaning beyond my work of it.
Or you can cremate it and take it.
Exactly.
I hope she doesn't. I promised several of my friends, Satin,
and several of my friends that I would let them read the few books that I'm close to finishing, that I would finish those few things up, and they at least can read them. You know, I don't know beyond that if they have a life or if I care if they have a life. I haven't decided yet.
Give someone permission to finish them.
I guess so. If somebody thought that they were worth. If they sparked somebody's interest and thought that they wanted to finish them, if I have two daughters, if they thought they wanted to finish them, or if my husband wanted to finish them, I'm not very attached to things, so I think that's why I don't have a big answer for that. Like I said, my making of them was the meaning for me. So if they have meaning to them afterwards and they want to, my husband's a printer, so actually I could just have them bound and printed for my friends and family.
Awesome.
And that would be the end of it, and that would be fine. And I think that's more important to the people who are left behind than it is to me. So I suppose that's another conversation we'll be having.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marriage, I could see that as a TV series.
Yeah, it's funny, it actually started as a movie. Almost all of my stories start as movies in my head, and that particular one started, if you've ever been to Haverhill, Massachusetts, there's this little area downtown where there's a couple of gazebos. I actually had envisioned this one scene where you're looking up above and you hear a scream and there's fire trucks and somebody was in the gazebo and shot themselves. And I was obsessed with this idea that, you know, something had happened in there, and I ended up writing The Illusion of Marriage all about that. One little scene came from that. Yeah.
Yep.
You never know where they're coming from.
The smallest acorns come the mightiest oaks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Somebody had asked us the other day, where are your ideas coming from? I'm like, I drove by a woman walking a dog and he had a sneaker in his mouth. I came up with this whole plot within, an hour about the killer driving by and seeing the dog with the shoe in his mouth, and he knows that's the shoe that was on the person he buried in the reservoir back there, so he has to follow her home. And anyway, so you never know. You don't know where things are going to come from. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Inspiration comes from everywhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was a hard act to follow, I know.
Yeah.
I joke incessantly about it also, so.
Well, Steve and Marilyn, was there any aspect of NaNoWriMo that you were hoping we would cover that we haven't yet?
I think you've covered it. I think maybe a little more information about how people get involved other than just going to the NaNo site and signing up. If they're hesitant to sign up for it, is there...
That's the start.
Okay.
NaNoWriMo.org.
Yep.
And if you're on, they also have social media. So, like, if you're on Twitter, you can follow hashtag NaNoWriMo. They have a Twitter profile that you can follow. And they tend to host writing sprints throughout November, throughout the day. So if you are on your lunch break and you've got 15 minutes and you want to jump in on a write sprint, a word sprint, you can do that.
Yeah, you could always be a NaNoWriMo lurker.
Yes.
You can see what other people are saying, people are doing. Yeah, mm-hmm. So there's definitely like lots of hashtags, lots of Instagram and Facebook, and you can be as social as you want to be, basically.
Yeah, you can join the site and not ever join a region. You're not bound to
you
that
can,
or anything.
Yeah, you can do your own thing. You can be the lone wolf if you want to be, and empower to you. You know, like sometimes that's all you need. For me, I'm too social for that.
So, is there a group in every state?
There are multiple groups.
Multiple groups, usually.
I can't think of a single state that has only one group. I think some parts of, like, northern Maine. I was just going to say,
Maine, the action seems to be kind of centered more up, like, towards Portland.
Yes.
So,
right.
Like, yeah. So if you're living in the Seacoast area, you're probably going to find more events either in the New Hampshire region or North Shore, depending on where you live.
Yeah, northern part of Maine for sure, I think, is difficult to find a region. But that's what online is for at that point.
And it's not strict. You can join our region if you're not in our region.
Yeah, we're not policing anybody,
yes,
really.
We welcome everyone.
And we have a friend who used to live in our region and was part of our region for many years, and then she has cancer and ended up having to move to California to get the treatment that she needs, and she still comes online.
Yep.
and you know,
once a rhino, always a rhino. That's our motto.
You can change regions if you're not really feeling one region. Maybe it doesn't have the personality you're looking for, or it doesn't
or
have the events that you're looking for. You know, yeah, go to a neighboring region. Try it. You know, cast your net wide, and then whittle down from there.
I think I belong to four different regions.
I think I belong to three, but I mean, it's mainly in name only.
Yes, exactly.
At this point,
I just like keep
you have a whole region, and then you can have auxiliary regions. Is basically it. And like, certainly, if you're near a city, like, you know, Boston has lots of events that they host in Boston, so you know, why not go down into the city if that's something that interests you, or you know, go meet other people who are writing, who are doing it. You'd be surprised at how friendly we all are.
Yeah, when
so.
I was visiting another area, I went to one of their write-ins.
Yeah.
Just you can go online and see their calendars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you're on vacation or something, maybe you're going to go visit, you know, go back home and visit family for Thanksgiving, and you want to see if there's a write-in at that region.
Yep.
Do that. You know, like it's not strict in that regard. So.
Yes, it
has become international.
Yeah.
Yeah, originally it started in San Francisco back in like 99, I think it was. Was it 97, 99, something like that? Don't quote me. It's like late 90s in San Francisco, and then it went national, and now it's international. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty big. Yeah, and it's free, guys. It's free. Like, I mean, there's really no reason for you not to try it, you know? If you've ever even just thought about it in passing or thought, that's interesting. I've never heard of that before. Give it a shot. See if
you
like it.
Although you can buy a t-shirt or a coffee mug on the website. I buy a t-shirt every year that's a different design every year. It's
inevitably, I do the same.
Fun way to support them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Got to get the swag.
Yeah, yeah. So my website is just my name, jeffdeck.com, and it's got links to all my books. You can also search my name on Amazon, and my books are on there. And Locally, they're in a few different bookstores. They're in River Run here in Portsmouth, and also in Cup of Joe, the coffee shop, and in Freethinker's Corner in Dover, and a little something in South Berwick.
Okay, hi. Okay, so my name is Satin Russell. Like I said, I write romantic suspense. My website is satinrussell.com. You can find all of my social media on there as well. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I have two published books right now. It's the Harper Sisters series. The first book is Secret Hunger. The second book is Secret Need. I have a holiday novella that's coming out November 1st. So while I'm writing another book, you guys can be reading my latest work. It's called Secret Gifts, and it is the side characters from Secret Hunger. They get together in the background, and I pick up with them 1 year later. And he's wanting to take the relationship to the next level, and her past kind of rears its ugly head and gives them some challenges before they can do that. So that's the story of Secret Gifts, but in a nutshell. But other than that, just satinrussell.com. You can find everything else there. So.
Thank you. Yeah. I think we'll wrap it up. I just want to thank our authors for being here tonight. And I want to thank WSCA Community Radio for providing the space for us. And to remind you, if you're listening to this podcast, that there's plenty more out there. There's a page with all of the podcasts that we've done. This show has been going for 3 years, so there's a lot of things to listen to there. So please check out the other podcasts. All right, thank you.
Awesome, thank you so much for having us. Yay!